All right, everybody. Scott Kohlhaas. He's the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Alaska. Now, you got this petition going around regarding conscription, but what exactly is this petition trying to do?
What we're trying to do here in Anchorage with our anti-draft citizens initiative is to, if it passes, it would create a volunteer task force to study what the effects would be if we didn't register 18-year-olds for the draft anymore. You know, would the sky come tumbling down if we stopped this program that we haven't used in 30 years?
Would the soldiers who are already part of the Army come to Alaska to fix it right again? That's the real question.
What now?
I guess the real question is, would the guys who are already in the National Army come to Alaska to fix it right again if you did?
Oh, well, you know, we talk to military people fairly often, and most of them realize that it's an all-volunteer force, and it's doing fine, and there's no need for a draft. So, actually, we find a lot of support there, and when you think about it, we're spending $25 million a year registering 18-year-olds for a draft we haven't used in 30 years. Now, that's over $500 million. Can you imagine what $500 million or more could do for, say, disabled veterans? I mean, there's a point to all this. We can keep chariots and redcoats in a warehouse somewhere because you never know. We might need to pull them out and use them. But there's some costs to be considered. And this selective service system is the $100 hammer. It's the $600 toilet seat. It's the waste of money that we try to uncover so that, you know, we get a bigger bang for our buck, that we're not, you know, just pouring money down a worthless hole.
You know, I'm getting mixed signals from the national government on this issue, to tell you the truth. I mean, there's Rumsfeld, I guess, came out last week and said, oh, a draft, we're not even considering it. Pa, we have
Excellent.
Plenty of troops.
Good.
And I thought, oh, great, all right, SecDef. But then, you know, I'm reading that they put up ads for draft boards to get people to join draft boards. And
so you're very perceptive, Philip. What they're saying and what they're doing are two different things. They're saying they don't need a draft, but everything they do is ensuring a draft because they're spreading us too thin. They have an interventionist foreign policy. And what we want is a fundamental change in our foreign policy to a non-interventionist foreign policy where we bring our troops back and defend the United States. So, yes, of course, they say they don't need a draft, and right now they don't. They have an individual ready reserve where people have still time they owe to the government. I don't know how big that pool is, but we're pretty far away from a draft, but they're taking steps to, and certainly registration for the draft is one of them. Beefing up the draft boards is another one. But the big thing is their foreign policy is ensuring they're going to need to force people to into the military to back up all these commitments they've made.
Well, and something we learned from our last guest, we were talking about all the propaganda to fool people into the most recent war, and how he said that, you know, we wouldn't even need all this propaganda if it was for a just war. People would be willing to do it. And I said, well, hey, our next guest is about conscription, and that's sort of the same point, isn't it? That if,
well,
if someone was invading America, you wouldn't need to draft anybody. We'd all volunteer.
That's right. That's right. We will never need selective service because if it is a just war, you'll find plenty of people who will volunteer. But in terms of Iraq and all this propaganda that we're talking about, I think the only chance we have to end that war is when the troops start coming home and telling the truth about what's going on over there. So I think the only ones who can end this war in Iraq are the ones who are there now, and they'll just have to come back and fix things.
Well, and so, assuming that they understand, I mean, if they've spent all their time over there, they don't know what you and I know.
But you know what? The Vietnam veterans came back, and they seem to understand. And really, it's a war of subjugation. I mean, it's they did not attack us. We have no business being there. And, you know, so we don't deserve to win. And when we finally, you know, when it's all said and done, I think we're going to all be sorry that we were there, just like Vietnam. So, but in terms of this hysteria that you're talking about, the propaganda, the lies, only they will tell the truth. They'll know. and they'll come back, and when they tell us, and when the word spreads, then I think you'll see change.
Okay, now, at your website, draftresistance.org,
right.
You're encouraging young men to fail to register for Selective Service, right?
That's right, Philip.
Now, in doing a little research on the internet, I found out that a young man turns 18 and doesn't register for Selective Service could face up to a $250,000 fine or 5 years in prison.
$250,000 for an 18-year-old, they might as well make it $25 million. I mean, that's just unrealistic. And they haven't, 5 years in prison, they haven't prosecuted anybody for this since the mid-80s, so 20 years now. Their policy is to not prosecute. I mean, you could hold out and not register right up to the point where they're about to put you in jail, and then you could sign up. And if everybody did that, well, you know, if they were prosecuting, which they're not, then, you know, the system would also crumble. But right now, they're faced with millions of people who haven't registered, millions more who registered and moved and didn't re-register. They are, in fact, unregistered. I mean, there's more resistance to this law than any law since prohibition of alcohol. I mean, everybody's doing it. And it's a wrong law, you know. I mean, they used to make people of color sit in the back of the bus. That was the law. But now, today, everybody realizes, no, that was a wrong law. You know, and this Selective Service registration is a wrong law. We're not going to force people into the military. We haven't done it in 30 years. We don't have any plans to do it, according to everybody. So why are we registering them if we're not going to draft them? Let's just get rid of this thing.
What exactly is it that you're trying to do in Anchorage? You're trying to make Anchorage a safe zone from the feds coming and kidnapping people? Or?
As consciousness is raised about the issue, that could be. Madison City Council in Wisconsin one time voted to be like a draft-free zone. But we want to study it, put it together with the idea of supporting the bill in Congress sponsored by Dr. Ron Paul and Peter DeFazio to abolish Selective Service. This is a grassroots effort to show our legislators how we feel about this issue, to give them some evidence in Congress so we can get draft registration repealed.
Yeah, it really would kind of be difficult, I think, to be forced to go and fight for freedom.
Well, let me tell you that it's a dual effort, though, Philip. You hit on the website, draftresistance.org, and we're hoping to rise in the search engines there. So that when the draft comes, as it's certainly, you know, coming, it's not right around the corner, but it doesn't take a lot of vision to see that if they pick up one or two more enemies in Colombia or North Korea, you know, conscription will be at our doorstep.
Second term, man, second term.
That's what I'm understanding, and it's a real threat. So if we're high enough in the search engines, you know, if they call, all of a sudden Congress rubber stamps it back, and all of a sudden everybody's going, what? And they're looking for answers, and it's the age of mass communications. And if everybody goes to the website, and everybody, enough people, not even everybody, but only enough people, decide they'll not, you know, go, then it'll break down because it won't be fair. If Johnny down the street's not going, then Billy's not going to go. So, and that is our hope, to sort of head them off at the pass and stop it before it starts.
That's kind of funny, too, because, you know, equality is one of the reasons that, so far, I don't think the Republicans have brought up conscription, but the Democrats have, because they say it's unfair that poor brown people go and do all the fighting, and that what we need,
you know,
is a draft, and then that way, if the rich white kids have to go fight too, maybe we won't get involved in so many wars.
They are, Rangel and Hollings are befuddled. These are people who have always favored service to the state, whether it be for military or you know, civil, cutting down trees or police or, you know, cleaning up hospitals. They just want people to serve. And so they view this as an opportunity to push a draft. And the idea that somehow if we enslave everyone, then we'll draft the sons, and maybe daughters of these career politicians. And then these kids will go over there to Iraq and they'll see how bad it is. And they'll come back and they'll tell their fathers and mothers in the Senate, and they'll vote to change things. You know, it's like, oh my Lord, so much social engineering. But that's what you'd expect from career politicians like that. It's their job to deliver pain and sacrifice. But people just aren't into that anymore. So these guys have come up flat, as they always will.
Well, on the subject of there was a good article on Lou Rockwell last week about draft creep and how they're not conscripting us regular folks yet, but they are, in a way, conscripting people who are already in the military, saying
that's
you're not allowed out for another few years and that kind of thing, right?
Stop loss, laws. They have stop loss where to keep unit integrity together, you know, they can force people who were otherwise going to be allowed to leave by contract, they can force them to stay, and they've done that to about 4,000, you know, people who were supposed to retire, and now they can't, and you gotta figure that some of those people have their lives on the line are gonna die now. Because the United States government, as usual, cannot be trusted and is not living up to their contracts. You know, you can talk to a lot of veterans, and they were promised medical care, and they were promised pensions. You know, it was all talk. And so I guess it's up to a new generation to find out the same thing. But, yeah, it is draft creep. But the overall creep is that somehow people, you know, owe service to the state. See, most of us up here are libertarians, and we believe that, you know, you own your life, you own your body, and you have the right to live any way you want as long as you don't infringe on somebody else's right to do the same. And with the draft, the government is saying, no, we own your body, we own your life, and we'll decide what to do with it whenever we decide the time is right for as long as we want. So this is the crux of the issue, and it's a life ownership issue, and it's pretty fundamental, pretty important to us.
Yeah, it seems strange that that's a almost revolutionary idea, what you just said, that human beings own themselves.
It is.
In the land of the free, that's a pretty extreme statement for you to make, isn't it?
It is still revolutionary because right now it is the group over the individual. It's always been the tribe, the collective, the state, who has sacrificed the individual to the greater glory of, you know, the gang. But yeah, it is still in this day and age revolutionary to say that, you should have the freedom of choice to say no, not only to unjust wars, but to the tax or anything else. And so, you know, to say that, you know, you're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. You're either free or you're not free. And if they institute conscription, then there is no more illusion of freedom. We, you know, people say, well, if you don't like the draft, why don't you go somewhere else? Well, everywhere else has a draft, so there has to be somewhere where things are different. And people came here for centuries to escape the Tsar's conscription, to escape the Kaiser's conscription, or the Emperor's conscription. Yeah, how ironic it would be to draft their grandsons, you know, to go back and subjugate, you know, some of these lands. So, it's just unacceptable. This is a free society, and if they don't like it, then they can get out.
Yeah, now you're talking, man. I like that attitude.
Well,
I'm getting really sick and tired of being told that if I don't like it, I should just move away rather than try to reinstate the Constitution as it was written.
You know what percentage of the American population supported the American Revolution?
What percentage?
Which, in my opinion, was the only war worth fighting. I've heard as low as 3%. So, Philip, we don't need everybody. We only need enough. And we'll change history, change the course of government, which is growing. It's becoming more intrusive. And we have to slash it, of course, back to the basics. Police, courts, national defense. Just enough government to protect us from any attack, but then leave you alone to pursue your happiness as you see fit. And if you don't hurt anybody, you keep your money, you have a good time with your life. You know, pursue your dreams. The conscription, the selective service, they're dream crushers. They are the Terminator. They would draft your grandmother if they were programmed to do it. They're programmed right now to draft doctors and nurses. And maybe this draft creep will lead to a draft of them, you know, these doctors first, and then maybe the 18-year-olds en masse. But selective service is a system that belongs to these other countries. Doesn't belong here. So, yeah, we come out and we say it's a wrong law, and if enough people refuse to just have anything, all we're asking you to do is nothing. Just don't lift a finger for these guys. and see what happens. Just wait it out.
Okay, now I read a news article where they're quoting the mayor of Anchorage saying, man, I don't know what the hell these guys are doing or what they think is going to happen. Maybe I'll, you know, if they come up with a letter, I'll pay for the stamp to mail it off, but I don't really know what's the point. And that makes me wonder, I mean, your principles obviously are clear and right in line with my own, and yet I'm a little confused about your tactics here. Shouldn't you be taking this to the state legislature of Alaska or to your U.S. House members?
Well, we do have a statewide petition circulating right now. It's the difference between we had to get 10,000 gross here in Anchorage, gross signatures, to put the language on the ballot here. And then the statewide one is 30,000 signatures, and we're hoping this will spread like a prairie fire across the country, that the communities and states will do this everywhere and sweep into Congress and get rid of this thing once and for all. So it has to start somewhere. Anchorage, Alaska, what better place to start to freeze draft registration? You know, I mean, it's
cold enough to freeze everything, yeah.
And you know what? We have a mayor here, and we have the head of the assembly who would appoint the volunteer task force, said this is a waste, was quoted as saying that this was a waste of time. And no one's ever accused these petty bureaucrats of having vision. But as I said before, it doesn't take a lot of vision to see what's going to happen if things keep going the way they're going. So, you know, things are a little bit more broad and sweeping than just Anchorage. But we do have the mayor on record as saying he will front the money for the stamp. I don't know if I have to report that with our local campaign finance laws or not, but...
yeah, be careful. Have your lawyer double-check.
Yeah, too many laws. Too many laws here, but... So the mayor, you know, I guess what it says is that we're not the best coalition builders. We need to get with the mayor and explain more about what's going on so he can have an intelligent answer to some of these questions he's getting from the press.
What kind of reaction are you getting from the rest of the Libertarian Party? Are there people across the country beginning to follow your lead now? Or?
Well, there are hundreds of people who have emailed in and said, you know, we're with you, we love you. You know, it's certainly popular amongst Libertarians, but not necessarily everybody. Everybody's got their different axe to grind, so to speak. I mean, the Libertarian Party is a marketplace, and people are... Some people are into the anti-tax issue, and some people are into the pro-gun rights issues, and some people are fighting the drug war. And draft registration is not exactly on the front of everyone's mind, but it touches everyone. I mean, you know, they've registered 40 million Americans since 1980 for no purpose. So there's that, and then there's every parent, every child, every friend who's been affected by it too, thinking that their buddy might be, you know, grabbed from society and pulled off to do some, you know...
Killing.
Yeah, really, some bonehead maneuver. They marched into that desert and they took over Mesopotamia. That was dumb. That was really... That's bad business. I'm telling you. We are a nation of businessmen. We should not be involved in these wars of aggression. So, you're right, it's a bad deal over there. It's murder.
Well, and, you know, Lou Rockwell, I think it was, said, he's talking about government and how, you know, if government steals, they call it taxes. And when they mass murder people, they call it foreign policy. And when they kidnap somebody, they call it selective service. But that's really all we're talking about, right, is kidnapping. You're coming with us.
That's right.
And you're going to kill who we say you're going to kill.
That's right. The draft is slavery on a plantation called war. But even if it was only for national service, it would be unacceptable. Philip, I'll tell you what. Even if this country were on one knee coughing up blood and whoever it was who was going to finish this off was about to deliver the death blow, we could never resort to conscription. Because at that point in time, we lose what we're fighting for. I mean, people say, oh, we need to defend... You know, America, well, that's fine, but what are we fighting for? Are we fighting for the cloth of the flag, you know, ooh, the finest cloth in the world, or the soil? Heck, the tundra up here is far different from New Mexico, I'll tell you that. That's not, if we do fight, we shouldn't fight unless we have to. But if we have to defend ourselves, we should be fighting, you know, not for the soil or any of these, but for great ideas. Great ideas like freedom of choice, free enterprise, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom to assemble. freedom of speech, all the freedoms that there are Americans all over the world, because there are Americans who believe in this stuff, but there are a lot less supporters of us now than there were a year ago, because we stepped over the line. We've attacked a country that didn't attack us first. And you know, we don't do things that way in this country. We need to get rid of this administration.
Are you supporting Badnarik or Nolan for the Libertarian candidacy?
Well, I'll tell you this. And, you know, certainly Aaron Russo has entered the race. He's running as a Libertarian now. And he's an exciting candidate. And he's made the draft one of his centerpiece issues. If you go to his website, I think it's Russo for President, he's exciting. And then there's talk. There's talk, my friend Philip, and I don't know if I should let the cat out of the bag, but
let it out.
Judge James Gray is running for the United States Senate in California, a sitting judge, and he's getting other judges to join the party, and it's an exciting thing going on out there. He's a very credible man. Well, anyway, I had a chance to chat with him, and he mentioned that he's putting a group together to approach Norman Schwarzkopf, the hero of the Gulf War, who is not completely satisfied with the Bush agenda, especially economically speaking. So, and supposedly called, my first question was, is this kind of libertarian?
And the same guy that told Saddam Hussein, oh, you want to keep your attack helicopters? Sure, go ahead and hang on to those attack helicopters. We don't mind.
Well, now, this is the guy who led an aggressive war, a war of aggression, and this is not necessarily something that party stalwarts would be able to overlook.
Yeah, I'm having trouble with this just right off the bat here. I'll let you go, though. Explain, please.
Well, it's a trade-off, my friend. You know, certainly we'd love a Jesse Ventura or a Norman Schwarzkopf to jump on, because they couldn't keep a person like that out of the debates. And so we would get a chance to get on the front page and explain a little bit about libertarianism, which is what we're all about. You know, our goal, of course, is to elect libertarians to prevent other parties from using those offices to thwart, you know, the free society, to use those offices to, you know, for their own ends. Because we're the only party that doesn't think government has the right to come in and take what you've gained, you know, without force or fraud. So, you know, we're the only party of the individual. So, you know, but at the same time, we educate millions through our campaigns at every level, but the presidential campaign alone reaches millions of people. So, we need to go to the next level and get into the debates and get the 10% we deserve, or the 16% that we deserve in national elections. Start electing some congressmen, whatnot. So,
Schwarzkopf could be useful for that, there's no doubt. Is he that upset with the neocons' foreign policy?
That's what I heard. That's all I can tell you.
I think I remember him coming out before the war with some criticism about, well, you should use more troops or whatever, but I don't remember any real strong statements against the policy.
Well, the statement was in the actions. You know, he was a very aggressive. He was like Guderian, you know. I mean, you know, would you want to elect what you thought was a fascist general, you know, maybe he's not. Maybe he was just doing his job. But I think he was in Vietnam, too. It's like, but so was Judge Jim Gray. He was also Senator. Well, he's not Senator yet, but Jim Gray, Judge Gray, was also in the Peace Corps for a couple of years in Costa Rica. So,
well, and I think Gray, from what I've read of Judge Gray, he actually is a libertarian and is coming around more and more to protecting individual liberty and upholding his oath. Schwarzkopf, I don't know enough about, I guess, at this point.
Me neither. I'm only throwing it out to show people that the Libertarian Party could be a vehicle for change, and we have to have our ducks in a row when the opportunity comes. I mean, right now we're struggling for 50 ballots, to make all 50 ballots. We've done it for the last three times straight, four times overall, including 1980, but this time it's in question. And what if a great, you know, candidate came along, but we didn't have our ducks in a row. We'd miss the opportunity to get him in.
Right. And, you know, the idea that he's looking to be a Libertarian Party candidate rather than try to run as a Democrat like Wesley Clark or something, I mean, that's something right there.
Well, and again, we're, you know, who knows? This is, as far as we're concerned, this is an unconfirmed independent report. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a shot in the dark. We're thinking, we're hoping, we're praying. So
we'll see how it turns out by the convention in May, I guess.
That's right.
Are you going to be there in Atlanta?
My guess is that I'll be out in the field petitioning somewhere. The deadlines start coming fast and furious for ballot access in the spring, especially in the summer. So I've missed conventions before because I'm out in the field. I've watched them on C-SPAN because I'm out in the field, you know, petitioning every day. Because, you know, there's a division of labor within the party, as I said. I mean, some people are givers. Some people are convention delegates who wrangle over this and that. And some people are out in the field. And some people are reading the newspaper, LP News. You know, it takes everybody. So I'd like to be there. I hope to be there. But my guess is that I'll be, if there's a crisis, and we know there'll be a crisis in ballot access, we just don't know where. So my guess is I'll be out there. But I would advise everybody to go to Atlanta if you can. It should be really, really exciting. Presidential nominating? Are you kidding me? Oh, man.
That sounds like fun to me. I wonder, I wonder if the Libertarian Party will get any more news than usual. I mean,
than it usually does?
Yeah.
No,
seems
probably
like
not,
a presidential nominating convention would be a pretty big deal. I remember. I was going to say, I wonder if they'll get any more press than C-SPAN. That's what I was going to say.
Well, right. Well, C-SPAN's been the big deal. We get, like, you know, 50,000 calls when they put us on C-SPAN. We really love C-SPAN. And that may be the only one. I mean, the press are gatekeepers, you know, and they're...
I was just going to say, man, that really shows... You know, people are dying to hear this message. They just don't ever get to hear it.
That's right.
50,000 calls?
Yeah. Yeah, it's our biggest time. And we put that 800 number out there, the website out there, you know, and that's our time to dance because that's all we get. The Republicans and Democrats with their, you know, bipartisan commission on the debates have pinched off any, and with their ballot access laws, of course, everywhere, they pinched off any chance of anybody, you know, coming ahead with a new idea. I mean, we, you know, they said you got to make 50 ballots, so we made 50 ballots. So they said, no, now you got to get 50 ballots, and you got to qualify for federal matching funds. So Harry Brown did that in '96. You know, he refused the money. That was the first time that ever happened. Yeah, and now you got to get all those two things and 15% in the poll. So they always raise the bar. But we'll, you know, we have an ideology that continues to attract new recruits. We're the party of principle. It's not about anybody. It's about ideas. And
hey, it's individual liberty. How can you argue with that?
That's right. It's a natural phenomenon, so we should be able to weather the storm. And I'll tell you, wars like this, unsuccessful wars, have put smaller parties into power over the course of history. So things could change radically. We just have to, you know, stick to our principles and keep organizing, keep our foot in the door.
Well, folks, if you don't want to be enslaved to go overseas and fight for the man, I strongly suggest you begin your research with draftresistance.org. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Scott Kohlhaas, he's the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Alaska.
My pleasure, Philip. Thank you.